playing at the Red Gate on Wednesday the 17th with Cave Girl and Carl Blau. So we're going to hear the Lux promo, a Mudhoney, the Lux ID, a Mudhoney promo, and Calvin Johnson Blues Come Running. And for you, Leora, how can people keep in touch with you?
I don't know.
Your blog.
My blog, yeah. Well, the blog isn't going as strong as it used to be, but I don't know. Google me, come on by, say hello.
And were you actually DJing on Radio Sonic that night that Oasis had pennies thrown at them?
Well, we were there recording it that night.
What happened?
People threw shoes or something at the stage. We were there with the recording truck, which cost a lot of money to have that set up, and then they walked off the stage.
And then the backup band got the headline, basically headlined, and that was Mr. Machine. So you,
I thought it was Limb Lifter.
Oh, maybe it was Limb Lifter.
Yeah.
But that's pretty amazing. You were actually there.
Witness. I was there, yeah.
And were you there also at the Radiohead fight? There was a
fight.
At the
Railway Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there too.
What happened there?
People were throwing chairs and stuff like that. I'm not exactly sure why it happened, but, you know, I bet you they're feeling pretty stupid now because Radiohead kind of went on to be one of the biggest bands in the world.
And finally, lastly, you were there for the most important moment in Canadian rock and roll history when Spinal Tap played 3 gigs in one day?
They did... No, they did like 6 gigs in one day, but I wasn't part of that. I went to the Paramount in Seattle to interview them, but I know they did that thing where they took the plane across Canada. So you always have some part of the story right, but not the whole part of the story.
80%.
80%.
So what happened there? 6 gigs in one day.
Yeah, they had a plane and they went from like Newfoundland to Vancouver and did all the gigs in one day.
And how were they in Seattle?
They were fantastic.
So right now, some Lux Interior, some Mudhoney, and some Calvin Johnson, who is playing next week at the Red Gate. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, Leora?
Congratulations to you on getting your star on the Walk of Fame, which I walked past last night. Woo! It's in front of the Orpheum. Come on, make some noise. It's from the Orpheum on Granville Street. And you're right next to Colin James, so he's taking care of you. You're taking care of him. And just remember, there ain't no party like a West Coast party.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words. Thank you for caring, Leora, and toot-doo-loot-doo.
Doot-doo.
Actually, I'm Lux Interior of the rock group The...
I'm Lux Interior of the rock group The Cramps, and you're listening to CIT.
R. FM 102.
Both of them.
Thank you.
Twilight blues come rolling in. like me and the you. There ain't no hurry. Where's the fire? Blues with pants on fire. Never knows anything but the truth. Ever shifting blues. There ain't no hurry. Just something to do.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
Hey, what's up? Kalev is here. You're listening to Word on the Street. And today on Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM.
Very special episode.
Very special episode. Very special interview. Biggest interview we've done.
Huge.
Someone who's actually not just in Vancouver.
Yeah. Today, international artist, world-renowned.
Producer. He's been around. Just Blaze.
Just Blaze!
Just Blaze. And just to kick this off, we're going to play a track that you might know by Just Blaze. He helped with this one. By one of our favorites, Kanye. Yeezus. This one's called Touch the Sky.
Yeah.
Right after this, we're going to play the Just Blaze interview.
That was done with you and Zubin.
Zubin. Shout out Zubes. He's going to call in later. We're going to talk about it a bit. But for now, this is Touch the Sky by Kanye West and Lupe Fiasco.
Let's go.
I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Back when they thought pink polos would hurt the rock. Before Cam got the shit to pop, the doors is closed. I felt like Bad Boy Street Team. I couldn't work the locks. Now let's go. Take them back to the plan. Me and my mama hopped in that U-Haul van. Any pessimists, I ain't talk to them. Plus, I ain't had no phone in my apartment. Let's take them back to the club. At least about an hour, I stand online. I just wanted to dance. I went to Jacob an hour after I got my advance. I just wanted to shine. Jay's favorite line, dog, in due time. Now they look at me like, damn, dog, you what I am. A hip-hop legend, I think I died in an accident. Cause this must be heaven. I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. Yeah. For the day I die, I'ma test the sky. Now let's take them high. Top of the world, baby. Top of the world. Now let's take them high.
back when Gucci was the shit to rock. Back when Slick Rick got the shit to pop. I'd do anything to say I got it. Damn, them new loafers hurt my pocket. Before anybody wanted K-West beats, me and my girls split the buffet at KFC. Dog, I was having nervous breakdowns. Like, man, these niggas that much better than me. Baby, I'm going on an airplane, and I don't know if I'll be back again. Sure enough, I sent the plane tickets, but when she came to kick it, things became different. Any girl I cheated on, she skeeted on. Couldn't keep it at home, thought I needed a knee alone. I'm trying to right my wrongs, but it's funny them same wrongs help me write the song. Now, I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky, you gon' touch the sky, baby girl, testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky. Yes, 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 guess who's on third? Lupe still like looping the third. Here like here till I'm bitter on the curb. Peach fuzz buzz but bitter on the verge. Let's slow it down like river on the serve. Bottle shaped body like Mrs. Butterworth. But before you say another word, I'm back on the block like I'm laying on the street. I'm trying to stop lying like I'm Umbra, but I'm not lying when I'm laying on the beat. On God, a touche Lupe, cool as the unthaw. But I still feel possessed as a gun charge. To come as correct as a porn star. And a fresh pair of steps and my best phone call. So, I represent the first. Now let me end my verse right where the horns are. Like, I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, you gon' touch the sky. You gon' touch the sky, baby girl. Testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day you die, yeah, you gon' touch the sky.
We back at home, baby.
Sky high, yeah. I'm sky high.
We're back. This is We're on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Isaac.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting live from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people right after Nardwuar, the human serviette.
Yeah.
Show.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. Had a great conversation just now. Mm-hmm. He was even impressed we got this this little interview because
Nardwuar couldn't get Just Blaze.
But we got him.
Isaac got Just Blaze.
We got him. Yeah. Zubin got Just Blaze.
Yeah.
We did the interview and we're going to play it for you now. So without further ado, here is the interview.
And then we're going to come back and talk about it.
We'll be back.
See you soon.
Justin Smith, also known as Just Blaze, is a legendary hip-hop producer who has produced beats for artists such as Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, Mariah Carey, and the list goes on and on. He started making a name for himself in the late 90s and early 2000s as a member of Rockefeller Records. Yet his success continues today. His longevity is incredible in a genre which is still relatively young and demonstrates that his business acumen is as fine-tuned as his musical talent. We were lucky enough to speak to Justin in early June of 2019. And before we play this interview, I want to thank Ronnie for making it happen.
Just play!
Just, you know, you've been so successful and maintain a career for so long now. What keeps you going in terms of producing new music and producing new art?
Really, the main thing that keeps me going is constantly being inspired, you know, and always remaining or always operating from the standpoint of being a student of this, you know. It's really, you know, when you're constantly learning and you're constantly inspired by things, you're always finding new tricks and new techniques, you know. And another thing is, you know, I DJ as well. So constantly, you know, always being on the road and being in touch with the people and seeing what's moving them currently versus what was moving them, you know, 6 months ago or a year ago or even 2 months ago, you know, because music cycles turn over so quickly now. And the sounds change so often. You know, there's always something new out there to be inspired by. And also just, you know, learning from, I think the other key thing is, you know, maintaining that you can learn from, you know, the younger generations as well as the older generations. You know, everything comes back around in cycles. So, you know, it's funny when you see kids adopting fashion or sounds or just culture, you know, from previous generations. It's always, you know, interesting to watch that come back around, because every time it comes back around, it comes back slightly differently. You know, so there's a wealth of inspiration out there. You just have to be open to it.
Speaking of cycles and the past, in other interviews, you often talk about DJing before producing, and nowadays you can just buy a computer and you can start producing right away. Do you think it's still important to pay homage to the traditional elements of hip-hop like that? Like, do you think that you should still pay homage to DJing and those kinds of things?
Well, let's be clear about one thing. You know, yes, you can pick up a computer and start making music. You know, you can't necessarily pick up a computer and start producing it. There's two different things. Or those things are, they're two different things in themselves. You know, a lot of times you make music, you have people that will make music, send it out to an artist via email or whatever, and the artist goes and records the song and writes the song and makes a song to it. That person kind of really just made the beat. They didn't really produce the song. You know, producing is more than just making the beat. It's pulling the best performance out of the artist. It's arranging the song. It's mixing the song. It's overseeing the mastering of the song and getting, you know, the finished product over to the client, whether it's a label or a movie house or whoever. So, you know, I just wanted to say that so people understand that there's a bit of a differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of things coming from, you know, in terms of DJing, for me, I can't tell anybody else what they should do. I can only speak on my experience. And a lot of my success has also been built on the fact that, like I mentioned in the previous question, I do appreciate and respect and study the things that came before me. You know, part of why I've been so successful is because I've studied great music from various generations, you know, not just from my generation. And the thing is, if you're stuck on just what's happening in your generation, what are you going to do when that sound isn't hot anymore, when it isn't relevant anymore? You have to find, you have to study outside of your box. And I think, you know, whether or not you want to call it paying homage or just, you know, I just call it being smart, you know. The homage comes through in the process, but it's really just about being smart. You know, I think that's part of the reason why I've been able to actually have a career and not just be a flash in the pan. You know, there are not many people, there are very few producers who can say they've had a career of 20 years and are still doing relevant and great things. And that's not me putting myself on a pedestal in terms of my talent. It's me just saying I've been smart enough, you know, fortunate enough to get myself in the position that I got into, but then also smart enough to do the right thing once I got in it. And part of that, like I said, is not necessarily paying homage, but it's just, you know, from an analytical standpoint, you know, studying the music and just studying what moves people in general.
In terms of, going off that, like being outside the box, do you think your past, I know you spent a few years studying computer science and you're always interested in programming, do you think that had a solid influence on giving you almost like a technical advantage over your peers?
Totally, 100%. You know, I think when I think back to my formative years and everything that led to what I'm doing now, you know, the computer programming was a super huge boom to, you know, my craft, because ultimately, you know, what we're doing when we're using drum machines and we're using digital audio workstations and, you know, working in Logic or Pro Tools or whatever, you know, Ableton, whatever you're using, ultimately, you're still programming a computer. You know, it's a different type of programming, but it's still 100% computer programming. And I think the way I tend to approach things from a very technical standpoint is due to the fact that I have that strong background, you know, in computer programming and in electronics in general. You know, I was always the type when I was a kid to, you know, I was interested in what the end result of what a machine did was, but I was also interested in how that end result happened. You know, all right, you push this button and it gets this, you know, you get this sound. But how was that sound actually produced? You know, I spent as much time under the hood as I did outside of it when it came to computers and drum machines and what have you. So, and also the logic that, no pun intended, but the logic that comes along with computer programming, you know, when you're learning to program, whether it's in BASIC or C++ or Pascal or any of those older computer languages that I used to study, the logic that comes along with that is very much relevant in, you know, to what I do nowadays in terms of tracing signal flow and my process, or my, well, let me rephrase that, in terms of tracing and understanding audio signal flow as well as my production process, you know?
Prince Paul is one of the greats that you've praised before, and he sampled things like cartoons and French lessons, and then you've got RZA, you know, with, of course, the Kung Fu samples. So I was curious, if we're looking at Just Blaze, what kinds of noises is it that we're listening for?
I don't think it's any particular sound. I think it's more so just particular energy. You know, a lot of my music tends to be very dense and a lot happening, but I try to do it in a way where every sound still stands out on its own. So I don't think it's so much a signature sound or noise or sample source as it is just a certain type of energy. My music tends to be very energetic, which is why it pops up a lot in movie trailers, you know, sporting events, high energy commercials that have a lot of energy to them, things like that. You know, I think my songs just have a very high amount of energy overall, even though the sound is always different.
And I was thinking, just based on that, like, because of that energy, do you think it was, like, a pretty smooth transition into making, like, EDM tracks with, like, your collaborators, like Bauer?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, you know, I mean, it's called EDM now. You know, it used to be, I feel like that's, like, a blanket term, you know, for a lot of different forms of music. But, you know, when I was younger, like, in my, you know, from, like, 11 or 12 years old and on, you know, I DJed, you know, house music and dance music just as much as I did hip-hop. So, you know, my experience with DJing and just being a fan of electronic music as a kid is a lot of what informed my production in hip-hop. You know, it's a lot of the trajectories in terms of how what we now call EDM records kind of have that progression where there's a big build, then a big drop, and then they break down, and then they build up again, and then they drop really heavy again. You know, my hip-hop production kind of follows that same aesthetic, and that wasn't an intentional thing. It wasn't like, you know, when I was younger, or it wasn't like when I was, you know, when I'm producing, especially in my earlier days, it wasn't like I was specifically following that blueprint knowingly. I was just making what felt right to me. And over the years, or after many years, it was an interviewer that actually pointed it out to me. I can't remember what an interviewer was, but he actually pointed out to me that a lot of my music translates well, even my hip-hop stuff translates well at EDM shows and concerts and parties, because it kind of follows the same trajectory. Even though it's hip-hop, it kind of still follows that, a lot of that same structure.
When we talk about hip-hop, we often say that the MC's instrument is their voice. And I was reading, and RZA was saying that as a producer, he considers the sampler as his musical instrument. Do you think that as a producer yourself, the sampler is something that you play?
Oh, it's definitely an instrument. The same way a turntable is an instrument, you know? I think the key thing is when you are programming and coming up with these tracks, you have to remember to make room for the most important instrument, which is the artist's voice. Or the most, I shouldn't say the most important, but the most prominent in any record is going to be the artist's voice. Unless it's an instrumental piece, then obviously it's a different story. You know, but the same way a turntable is an instrument, you know, and DJs fought for many years, you know, or turntablists, I should say, fought for many years for the turntable to be recognized as a musical instrument. A sampler is the same thing. To me, any tool that you use to create something out of something else or create something that didn't previously exist, that's an instrument.
I just wanted to ask what you'd give advice, just based on your Breakfast Club interview from a few years ago, you mentioning how you were just spending almost like $100,000 just on jerseys 1 year. I was just going to ask you, like, do you think, like, to like a younger you or a younger artist, would you say, like, to try to be wary of focusing too much and spending too much money on, like, maintaining an image, or do you think that's still important?
Yeah, it's a balancing act, you know? I mean, ultimately, the society that we live in itself, you know, even outside of the music industry, is obviously very much image-based. You know, and I do believe in the fact that if you are going to walk into a meeting or engage with somebody and you're demanding $100,000 for your work, you better look like you're worth, you know, $100,000, like you're getting paid that kind of money on a regular basis. Now, again, it's about balance. You know, you can easily go overboard with that. I think the reason I fell into what I fell into in terms of that was because it was a time in the music industry where money was very abundant. You know, artists were still selling millions of records on a regular basis, and there was just a lot more money in it. The people that I was surrounded by were people who were, you know, I was doing well. I was not rich. I was surrounded by rich people. You know, I don't think for me it was necessarily like, oh, I have to look as a thing where I have to look as good as they do. I think it was just a thing where I was used to their habits, even though I didn't have their income. You know, those kind of habits rubbed off on me. But if I could go back and, you know, talk to my younger self about it, I wouldn't discourage him from it 100%. I would have just made sure that I maintained, I would have made sure that he understood that there's a balance to that, you know? And, you know, enjoy the fruits of your labor, but just, you know, maintain your balance and don't go overboard, you know, because the truth is, you know, that money can come and go very, very quickly. Fortunately, you know, I was surrounded by people from a very young age when I first started in this business who also did teach me, you know, the value of, you know, of a dollar, but even on top of that, the value in putting money to the side, setting up your own retirement funds. You know, I'm self-employed, you know, so it's not like I have a 401k or a pension waiting for me, you know. So if you want something like that, you know, that's something that you have to set aside for yourself every year. When you file your taxes, you know, you make sure you put money towards IRAs and Roth IRAs and things like that that will accrue in value that you don't touch. So by the time you do hit 60, you know, and you're done, you set up your own pension over the past 40 years.
Speaking of investing in things, RZA once dropped 10,000 on records in Switzerland, just a bunch of records. Have you ever had huge splurges like this where you just bought a ton of records and you found something crazy in them and it's turned out to be a hit? Has that been worthwhile doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the same way I've invested a lot of money in my gear, my technology, you know, a lot of my inspiration comes from sample sources. And to me, you know, going and spending, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 on records, I've totally done that, you know. I don't do it as often as I used to because I have so many records now. You know, we have a wall of about 15,000 records at the house. many of which I haven't even gone through yet, or, you know, I forget that I have. You know, so every couple of weeks, you know, I go back to the wall and pull out a few things for inspiration. But to me, that's just an investment in yourself. You know, that's not a frivolous spend. To me, that, you know, one of the most important things you can invest in when you work for yourself is to invest in yourself. So, you know, it's just like a piece of gear. You know, there's been times where I was in a store, was playing with a keyboard, heard a sound that I love. The keyboard was $3,000. I bought it, maybe used it once, and then never used it again. But that one investment of $3,000 ended up, you know, containing a sound that I used on a record that generated millions of dollars. So it's definitely, you know, definitely a worthwhile investment, whether it's a, you know, records, keyboards, you know, gear, whatever it is. If it's something that contributes to your craft, then that's an investment.
Just back to your past a little bit. I know in your Rapture episode, you mentioned at one point how at the time you were an assistant studio manager at the Cutting Room in New York by day and Just Blaze by night, sleeping about, you know, like 20 minutes a night. How did you think you were able to just push through all that? Like, what kind of drive did you have, I guess? Because, like, you know, I'm 20 years old. I don't think I have that much energy, Steven, to go for that long.
Well, here's the whole thing behind it, really. And I think I might have talked about this in Rapture. I'm not sure. But, or I know I talked about it. I don't think it was used, you know, in the show itself. But I was in college for 2.5 years, and I had this opportunity to intern, you know, and kind of, you know, at the studio, at the Cutting Room, and parlay it into a job. But you got to remember, you know, most of us who go to school are going there for a specific study, you know, studying a particular subject matter, and then we get out, we graduate, we go out into the world, and we try to find a job relevant to what we've studied. And some of us get that and some of us don't, you know. But at the end, it's not like, you know, in most cases where it's not like, if you say, for example, you study, you know, finance, it's not like you're coming out of college and getting a VP job, you know, at J.P. Morgan or Chase, you know, making $500,000 a year. No, you're coming out of college and you're getting something very entry level and having to work your way up most of the times. So even though I was going to school for computer programming and computer science, what I really wanted to do was make music. And this internship, to me, was that entry-level job. You know, and also in this business, you know, college is not something that, it's one of the few fields where, like, it doesn't matter where you study. What matters is how good you are. So, you know, and who you know and how you can parlay your opportunities. So, again, it's not like trying to get a job at a financial firm where they see that you graduated from Harvard and they're like, oh, give this guy a shot. He went to Harvard. You know, when you're sending your music into a record label and trying to get noticed and trying to get picked up and performing at showcases and whatnot, nobody cares what school you went to. So for me, I say all that to say, for me, this was almost like, you know, school for me. It was, I was skipping the line. And, you know, instead of graduating and, you know, hoping to get an entry-level job somewhere, I have my entry-level job. And what I do with it is ultimately up to me. You know, so the same way, you know, you might be in school and you're cramming for finals and you're staying up all night studying for X, Y, and Z, I'm doing the same thing. I'm just not doing it in a traditional school. I'm doing it in real life, you know. And the fact that, say you went to an acting school and you get out of school and you're surrounded by, you know, or rather, go to an acting school, and in this school, you're surrounded by some of the greatest actors of all time, whether it's George Clooney, whoever, you know, but you're surrounded by these people all day, and your job is watching them make movies and helping them make, you know, helping them with what they need to make movies. It doesn't even feel like you're in school at that point. It just feels like you're kind of on the path to living your dream. It was the same thing with me. You know, like, fortunately, the Cutting Room existed at a time when the studio culture in New York City was very vibrant. It's very different now. You know, back then there were studios on every corner. A lot of the music business was still in New York and hadn't migrated to LA yet. So I was able to watch a lot of classic records get made. I was able to watch a lot of legendary producers and artists and engineers work on their craft. So to me, it was like constant inspiration and also constant, you know, affirmation that I was kind of on the right path. You know, it's very different when you're learning that way as opposed to just sitting in a class, you know, listening to a professor talk. And I'm not discouraging, you know, going to school at all. For me, this was the kind of school that I needed in order to do what I wanted to do.
So just wrapping up here with a last question. You worked alongside, you know, a lot of huge names, needless to say, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Kendrick, Eminem. But you started out pretty early at Rockefeller. You know, you started producing for Jay-Z when you were 22. But I wanted to ask, being at Rockefeller with other producers, you kind of witnessed Kanye West's growth, you know, from way back then, before he even rapped, really, before he was rapping on records to now. So what was it like witnessing that guy develop and grow as a person, as an artist?
Oh, no, it was a very interesting trajectory to watch. Especially because we came in as peers, and even outside of being peers, we were friends. You know, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like the competitive thing. You know, we had a genuine friendship, and we were very much in the same position at the same time, but just with different end goals. You know, he came in as a producer, but that was really his means of infiltration. He always wanted to really be an artist, and he kind of used his production skills to get to where he wanted to get as an artist. And that's, you know, very interesting to watch through the ups and the downs, you know what I mean, like early on. What I will say is that, you know, he was driven from day one, you know, and made a lot of sacrifices that, you know, people don't know about and don't see early on. And I think a lot of times with celebrities, you know, people feel like everything was just handed to them because that's the life that they see now. Mm-hmm. They don't see what their life was like 20 years ago when they were having to fight tooth and nail, and living in, you know, small one-bedroom apartments and struggling just to, you know, keep some money in their pocket. They don't see that side, you know what I mean? So I'm super proud of him, you know, just having been able to witness, you know, that trajectory from the starting point to now. It's a very inspiring story.
This interview was produced by myself, Zubin Shroff Marabadi, and Isaac Koenig-Workman for CITR 101.9 FM's Music Collective. The poster for this interview was created by Kalev Matsi, and special thanks again to Ronnie and also to Alex DeBoer for teaching me to be a better interviewer.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
You're listening to We're on the Street. We're going to try to get Zubin to come in right now.
That interview was amazing.
Thank you. And thank you for doing the poster.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we don't have visuals for the radio all
the
time.
Looks like we're getting a call in.
Looks like we got a call.
There's a rainbow light strip that shows
the
call.
Zubin, hello.
Yo, what's good?
Oh, my God. Okay,
Zubin's
here.
Do I have to turn these on?
No, it's on. It's on. No. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, Zub.
Chilling at the beach.
Oh, Zubin just calling in from the beach, not in the studio.
Live from the beach.
So, Zubin, overall, how did you feel about interviewing Just Blaze?
Pretty cool experience, but at the same time, like, I was definitely too nervous to, like, properly remember it all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, overall, still a good experience for sure.
Yeah,
we he's a very easy interview, like, guest because he's, like, able to talk about so much easily.
Mm-hmm. So, re-listening to it, what parts really sticked out to you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely while editing, like, listening over parts. Like, I think the stuff he talks about, like, more on, like, some of the business side of things a little bit. And just, like, trying to talk about his own, like, why he thinks he's managed his longevity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think listening back now and as we were making sure everything was good, I really appreciated some of the things more and more that he said, because I think he really spoke to us as students too. You know, he was not just letting us interview him, but giving some little piece of advice as like young people, because he knows what it's like to, you know, struggle as a student. And he, like he said, he's a unconventional example of what a student may be or may be defined as. But just those things about only sleeping 20 minutes a night and being, you know, with Jay-Z out there and everything and just hustling like that.
Yeah.
I think.
And there's like the little things too, like how, like, you could, like, in terms of like, you can buy, say, like, I think the example he gave was like, if he buys a keyboard for like a few grand, as long as he like flips it into something that's worth a lot more, like, there's like little things like that that you learn to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my main takeaway listening to it was just the wisdom. Just he seemed from a very young age to understand where he wanted to be and how to do it. Like, particularly when he was talking about that internship, he could see that the pathway forward was something unconventional from what other people were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another thing I grew to, you know, appreciate a lot more, and this was following the interview, I went to the Wu-Tang show, and when we were talking about that question with him where I said the MC's voice is their instrument, and then he talked about how he DJ'd, you know, the turntable is an instrument. I saw the most incredible DJ I've ever seen at Wu-Tang Mathematics, or Law of Mathematics, and just in reflection with what Justin was saying, and then seeing that in person of how that goes so far back with hip-hop and its foundations and what a really skilled DJ can do and why that's so important to a record, it just made me think about it a lot more. And, you know, we have a lot of friends who are producers and who make all their own beats, and I just found a new gratitude for that.
Yeah, I really liked in the beginning when he was talking about how you have to change with the times, you have to be smart is what he said.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he came off as very smart the whole interview, but particularly just to know that you have to change and you have to adapt to what's happening. And you have to take what skills you have to move forward. And particularly what he was saying about how he's gotten into electronic music. It's interesting to see someone go from that, you know, old school DJing, working with people like Jay-Z, to now integrating more into a modern sound and even more computerized sounds and using his knowledge to make more music and keep getting out there.
You can definitely see why Jay-Z wanted to work with him. Someone who's so entrepreneurial, right? Someone who's so motivated from the business side, like you said. He's definitely not an old head, needless to say. And he's definitely, you know, okay with switching it up to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say, Zubin, about the interview?
Well, I also was like thinking about that part where he talks about, I think somewhere at the beginning, about like, the difference between being a beat maker and a producer, and how like I like after like while I was listening it over again while editing, like I think I understood more what his point was, and like I think it's somewhat relevant to talking about like longevity, because like I think what he was trying to say was that, like, there's a lot of people who can just be beat makers and essentially, you know, like make beats like that people will use, but like being a producer is about kind of like
Working with people
more so than that. Yeah, exactly. And then and there's a lot of other skills that are outside of just making the beats, right? It's like being able to like get the best out of an artist and or out of like a record, which is more than just, you know, being able to put together really good instrumentals.
Yeah,
I feel like that's definitely exemplified on Touch the Sky, because that Lupe verse, I mean, man, he made him sound good as ever, right? That's what got me looking into more of his music, and that's definitely my favorite Lupe verse.
For sure.
Well, thanks again, Zubin, for the connect with that one.
Yeah.
Still can't believe it happened. So I guess we only go up from here, right?
Yeah.
Who knows who's next?
Yep.
And for now, we're going to play a couple more songs. I think we're going to play a couple songs that we just picked for today.
Yeah.
And, I mean, funny enough, I didn't even think about this, but Zubin's actually seeing this duo. I'm very jealous, in Amsterdam. But I'm going to play a new song from Bandana.
Amazing.
I'm going to play.
That's Mad Libs and Freddie Gibbs.
Yeah, Mad Lib, Freddie Gibbs,
yep.
Mad Gibbs. I'm going to play Fake Names.
Yeah.
And Zubin, anything you want to say to our listeners out there before you head out?
Nah, special thanks to Ronnie again for hooking it up.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Yeah. Have fun on the beach.
Yeah, have fun on the beach, Zubin. Thanks for calling in. We'll see you soon. Peace out.
Peace out.
Okay, Zubin has been dropped. He's gone. And now we're going to play Fake Names by Freddie Gibbs.
Drop the needle.
Mad Lib.
Shit so real, gotta use fake names. Every time I sleep, dead faces, they occupy my brain. Erica said I never change. Lifestyles are the insane. You was like a brother to me, no other than me. Swear I would trade my life for yours, I knew you was fucking with me. Found out some niggas fuck your wife and we put them bitches to sleep. They gon' say your government, I'ma call him by Ricky D. Now Ricky D, he had a cousin named Yellow with Rixiola. Had a Mexican that came across the border to Arizona. They was getting shit for 17. Tossing shit to me for 28. Bitch go for 31, I barely ate. Seen them niggas frown when I started breaking that shit down. Said I need more time with them chickens, I'm out here making rounds. Tell those niggas want they 28. Up front now, why about all the damn clientele? We could've ran the town. But fuck it, you cut the price, then I fly to Phoenix. Said if you ain't copping like 20, then cocksucker beat it. They put Yellow Boy on the evening news. Devil on my shoulder, say fuck friends, cause cash rules. Shit so real, gotta use fake names. Every time I sleep, dead faces, they occupy my brain. Christina said I never change. Lifestyles are the insane. I done walked through hell in these size 12. Speaking from my own mouth before I let the time tell. Dream team legal, I never take a L. Courtroom, funeral fresh, Gavanti, my lapel. Pouring up, three bricks, I'm 100 up. Jack up, pussy, Povis pack, that's how you fuck the summer up. Fuck it up, bottled up, your hoes fuck for followers. Vanessa's carries, Tiger Lily, bitch, I'm supermodel, yeah. Sit fast, she rolled it backwards out the zip, yeah. Pasadena Arena came to Vegas, it was lit, yeah. Crystal Lynn came all the way to Denver for the dick, yeah. Had to cancel my Miami trip, that bitch was sick, yeah. Put me on, always put me on. In labor 16 hours, Linda put me on. Drop a zone, dope ain't locking up this shit that took too long. Shout out to B.O. and Charlie Mack, may bring the niggas home. Most my dogs get life in jail from conversations on the phone. I bought my first mansion, told my mama Lee that don't belong. Rich the men to kind of walk the lip, yeah. Put that on my nephew Luciano, we the shit, yeah. Just put your pussy in the mail, I get a sick, yeah. Abby used to follow me on tour, that shit was thick, yeah. Put me on, Freddy, put me on.
She was like,
put me on, notice, put me on, yeah.
I used to love that bitch, though.
Yeah,
give me another one. オールマイニガスアンドレディーズ It's time once again for that motherfucker マドリップザビートコンダクターストレートフロムカリフォルニアソライトザマザーファキンウィードアップビーチターンザサウンドアップレッドスゴーアンドアズユージュアルノーファックボーイズリールニガスオンリー
Okay, baby.
Rewind the forces, take it back to what's in rewind the forces, take it back to what's in rewind the forces, take it back to what's important. Barely scratching on the surface when I remind my choices that I made straight to the grave, it's really poison. We lift up our voices and holler out. Give me a second, let me settle down, I'm wildin' out. See, that's my problem, always guarding out. Rewind the forces, take it back to what's in rewind the forces.Take it back to what's important. Barely scratching on the surface when I remind my choices. That I made straight to the grave, it's really poison. We lift up our voices and holler out. Give me a second, let me settle down, I'm wildin' out. See, that's my problem, always guarding out. Devil get up off me, guess my karma, wanna swap it out. Shovel in my coffin, getting salty, cause I'm stronger now. Damn, they had this pain since I was little, nigga. Damn, that's why I changed the way I feel, nigga. Been getting high with open eyes and got a stained liver. I paid the price to recognize that I'm a made nigga. My baby left me, wasn't careful, got me stressing, kinda selfish. Had my lessons, always deadly, it's a skill, nigga. I sniped Wesley for testing this question. Your blade evident, are you destined to mess with a vampire? Don't stand by, as a passenger, they mad at us. It's that tire, how they added up, cause I ain't think you really take my breath away. A better day is on the rise, figure why. Chase, sleep, I'm trying to live a better life. And without you, I feel I'm wasting time. Self-medicate, self-desperation. You be in my dark thoughts when I'm on vacation. Deb, tell them son, before I sell them son. A fairy tale that leads to hell, I smell the reaper coming. You know I'm pissed off, but this song ain't nothing funny. Our clock is ticked on, the love gone, right after fucking. I get to lick on, then you come right on your tummy. I'm so descriptive of, but guess what, we really want it. Flashback that I have when I'm thinking of you. I stack bags full of crack just to get your money. Please don't react like a brat, but you know it's nothing. To put a gat to your back when I'm sick of loving. I'm never capped when I'm rap, really miss my honey.
Can't even nap, damn, I'm trapped. Can't you hear me suffering?
Seem like you're liking it, but don't be fighting it. Then biting it, then got you blind and dying. Know you're trying it. I'm typing what I'm writing, then recording. Hope they buying it. Come here, baby, let me cuddle you. For 7 hours, had the power to my heart, and she devoured it. Feeling crazy, but you loving it. Just take a shower, call a driver to bring you by me for this punishment. See, we gon' fuck with no latex. Yes, I'm going dumb for that makeup sex. I know you feel the same. You broke my trust, bitch, I must confess. Just give me some, and it could even the bet. Made it a dirty game. Thought what we had was like a rock onto the top. I never thought that we would drop just like Despot album. You drowned me cause you was hot. This heart pounded repeatedly. Believed you needed me, you feeding me. The sex and with direction, I'm confessing that it's eating me. I lied, I died, correcting what was killing me.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Isaac. I'm sorry, I didn't put your mic on. Let me put your mic on.
Hey, what's up?
It's Caleb. Thank you for listening today. If you didn't catch it, we interviewed Just Blaze, Zubin and I, Zubin with the Connect for that one. He's produced for a lot of really big artists. And if you didn't listen, it's okay, because we're going to podcast it. It'll be up this weekend, probably later today.
For the world to see.
For the world to see.
And hear.
Word on the Street.
Engage with.
Word on the Street.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
We're going to play more music.
And we'll be back next week.
Yeah, that was the new Blood Orange song featuring Benny Revival. Check out Blood Orange, new album. It's dope. And check out Benny Revival, new upcoming rapper.
Very ambiguous guy.
Yeah.
From what we know.
No one knows what
so
he looks like.
Also, you can follow us on Twitter at CITR Word Street. No Gabe, so I'm going to plug that. And you can also follow us individually on Twitter. Mine is Isaac_KW. And Kalev's is?
My Instagram, Kalev.Mercury, Kalev.Mercury. Check me out.
There you go. We'll have more content soon. We'll be back again next week. Thank you for listening to Word on the Street. Peace out.
Get it, 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 get it
clips in my brother's hand. Can't pick from the dish of another man. I'll be spending days sick, just wondering. Remember back then, shit, I was stuttering. Know where the bread is, looking where the butter. Too grown for the other shit. I be hurt smoking dope, stay numbing it. Want the whole do the mope, just some of it. A lot of niggas talk shit, don't roll with it. Cop scullies and bubbles when the summer end. Pop belly in trouble with the government. Pot Henny in a double, you can summon him. Drive heavy cause we coming with the luggages. Who knows? And forget his lyrics when he thinking lose focus. Who wrote this? Better bring him out the genie bottle hoping. Might be clinging to this teeny tiny token. Creepy chilling probably with my Johnny smoking. Feel the wind beside me in it, I be floating. Who wanted with the kid? Who wanted? Who wanted with the kid? Who wanted? Who wanted with the kid? Who wanted with the kid? Who wanted with the kid? Who wanted? Who wanted with the kid? Who wanted? Who?